That was consternation across the world, really, yesterday when the news came true that the US striker Florian Balogun had been allowed or would be allowed to avoid a one-match suspension so he could play in the last 16 game between USA and Belgium in Seattle yesterday. Donald Trump confirmed yesterday morning ahead of the game that he had called Gianni Infantino to get the ban overturned effectively and allow him to play, even though this is not allowed under FIFA's rules, under an obscure Section 27 rule which allows FIFA to effectively veto any referee decision. That was pulled out of the drawer and Balogun got to play the game. All to no avail for the US as they were hammered 4-1 by Belgium last night, and Belgium march on in the tournament and the USA go out after a disappointing performance by them. One wonders if that had an impact on it. You don't know. But a lot of people, the Belgian FA, UEFA, heavily critical of the decision that was made and querying why it was allowed to happen. And generally, a lot of people feeling that this had cast a shadow and a stain on the tournament. Shortly before coming in here this morning, I spoke to Tom O'Shea, former grassroots director of the FAI, to talk to him about that and the impact. And I first of all asked him for his reaction when he saw this astonishing decision come out from nowhere from FIFA that Balogun was allowed to play the game.
I think the Belgian manager had it, didn't he? Was it April Fool's Day? It was unbelievable, because I don't think any of us knew, Jerry, what Article 27 was. You know,
yeah.
But having looked at it since, I think it's very obscure. And the fact that there had been 11 players sent off before Balogun or whoever his name is, it didn't make any sense. And they wouldn't justify it and couldn't justify it. You know, their own article, I did look it up afterwards, is that a player sent off for what he was sent off for should have got a two-match suspension.
A two-match suspension?
Yes. Yeah. He should have actually got two matches because he was sent off for serious foul play. And instead he got a no match suspension. There was a guy sent off for Qatar in one of the early games. And he got a five match suspension.
A five match suspension.
Because the guy he tackled, I think, suffered a broken leg, which, looking at the replays, people were saying, well, if that really wasn't, your man didn't make contact with him, it was in the fall and the tackle. And his suspension went from 1 to 5. So
yeah,
it makes no sense. And I think, you know, anyone, anywhere, Jerry, I think, could see that there was influence, you know, and Infantino, you know, yeah, Trumpfantino maybe.
Yeah, that might, that was confirmed. Donald Trump admitted it yesterday before the game at his regular Monday morning Oval Office press conference. He said, yeah, I made a call. I started it out. This was a bad decision. He questioned the referee, you know, as being suspect, and said, I made a call to Gianni Infantino. And then Infantino just did his bidding. And that was it.
He did, and even, you know, for, again, and Infantino is his own character, if you like, but for Trump to, you know, question the referee, you know, and the you know, calling him suspect and everything, you know, you would expect your president of FIFA to be defending the match officials straight away, but that almost passed it by, do you know? And I think the way FIFA have treated Belgium since then has been shameful as well. You know, they've tried to get answers. They had a coordination meeting yesterday or the day before the USA game, coordination meetings that they have before all the World Cup matches. And at every World Cup meeting, pre-match, up to that meeting, they were told about this, if a player gets a red card, it's an automatic minimum one-game suspension. Yet on the game, on the day before yesterday's, last night's game, that clause was left out of the meeting.
Yeah.
It was never mentioned at the meeting, even though it's been mentioned at every pre-game meeting. So
it was conspicuous by its absence then, Tom, when it wasn't mentioned.
It was, yeah. And I think, look, any of us with a passion or an interest in sport in general could see that for what it was. You know, it was really just, it was almost as good as Martinez pandering to Ronaldo, you know.
Well, that's another story. Just on that principle of it, though, coming into the game, this World Cup has been so far it's been a success. I mean, there's big crowds there. There's obviously there's grumbling about the expensiveness of the tickets and maybe people of limited income don't have a chance to go to the games. But the games have been entertaining. There hasn't been any many blowouts in the tournament. We've had some exciting matches, some brilliant games. The England-Mexico game being an example in the Azteca on Sunday night, Monday morning. But then this just came out of nowhere, really. Donald Trump hadn't really been involved in the World Cup. He hadn't turned up to any games. But this really kind of, does it devalue the whole thing? It puts a stain on it? Do you think from the sense of fair play and fairness that at least there's one thing, teams get out in the field to play, we'll play each other and the best team will win. This kind of struck at all of that, didn't it?
I think it did. I think it does put a stain in it, Jerry. I hope things, you know, I hope that the quarterfinal games are now bringing all back to the football. I mean, otherwise people are going to remember it for this. Now, I suppose the result last night or early this morning puts it to bed to a degree. You know, Belgium beating the States 4-1. Or the best headline I've seen for that one this morning was Soccer 1, Football 4. You know, which was very clever. But I mean, I think it has been a very good World Cup. It's been far better than I thought it would. I think Morocco have been so good and could give France a real, real good game and might beat them. England, Norway is, you know, Haaland, you got to love that guy. He's a lazy, strolls around disinterested and then says, ah, flip it, I might as well get a couple of goals and we'll move on, you know. He's a machine, you know. So it's going to be interesting.
There's a lot of characters still left. There's a lot of teams. Every team has their story. This is all part of it. Do you think this galvanised Belgium, the 4-1, do you think it harmed the United States going into this game, the cloud of it?
Well, look, I suppose hindsight and all of that, yes.
Yeah.
But, he didn't play that well himself at all last night, Balogun. You know, from what I can see, I wasn't passionate enough that I stayed up to watch it because it wasn't England and Norway and anyone but England always works well from keeping me up at night.
Yeah.
But I think it did. You know, I think they were fired up. And it's their third quarter final in the last four World Cups, Belgium. You know, we talked about this golden generation and they never quite got there. But who knows, you know? Spain don't seem to be firing for me. They're playing Belgium now next round, so you never know what might happen. I think we're into the business end now, and hopefully this can be just forgotten about down the line. But it is a stain, without a doubt. For those of us, you know, I don't think you just need to like football, soccer. I think anyone in sport would hate to see stuff like this going on. You know, you win in the pitch, you lose in the pitch. That should be the way it is.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what upset most people by this, even people who weren't following the World Cup, and the sense of unfairness to it, of putting your thumb on the scales for one team over the others, and that's really what annoyed a lot of people, I think, about yesterday.
It is, yeah, and the whole fact that, like you said, there was 11 players sent off in the World Cup prior to him being sent off, and nothing happened, and now you have the question of, you know, England's Quansar, whatever his name is, being sent
off. That opens it up. That's the other thing. Are they now entitled to go to Infantino and say, well, you let that guy off, we want our guy off?
Well, I don't think they are, but probably King Charles is probably allowed, you know. I don't think anyone involved with the team would be allowed. But
the Oval Office.
I think it's FIFA that's left, they've left them down. You know, if Infantino, he's not the type of character I think you want heading up an organisation. He, like I said, even that little comment about the referee, that should have been shut down straight away. He should have been defending his game, his sport, his officials, the whole lot. But, yeah, we don't see that too much anymore, I think.
No, we definitely don't. Do you think his position is damaged by it, finally, Tommy, on this element of it, that UEFA came out and said a line was crossed? There's an ongoing battle between UEFA and FIFA now, but has this damaged him going forward, do you think?
I'd like to think so, but probably not, because of the power, I suppose, he yields in the non-UEFA federations, if you like. Yes. You know, yeah. I think UEFA would probably want to, is it CONCACAF, would want to be coming in as well on that. But no, I think, look, he's done things already before, and it's just, slate seems to be wiped clean constantly, just moves on. There's talk about the ethics committee looking at him before the ethics committee, except maybe people appointed by him.
Yeah. And that's the concern there, like. Listen, finally, you mentioned it earlier on, Spain and Portugal, it was actually a dull enough game, I thought. It was a really poor match. The quality, especially up front on both sides, was very bad for long stretches. But Ronaldo will never play in the World Cup again. He's out. You feel that Martinez made a mistake keeping him on, particularly for that second half?
I think he did, yeah. I don't think Ronaldo particularly played in this World Cup either. You know, I mean, when they made the change the other night in the previous game, when Ramos came on, it embodied the team, it livened them, and they turned things around, whereas Ramos was left sitting on the bench all of last night. I think he's, and again, I read it this morning, the phrase was he's pandered a lot to him. You know, he can still, obviously he can still score the odd goal and the great goal and so on. But even for himself, Ronaldo last night, it's my last World Cup, but not my last international game. You know, he's 232 caps. Maybe it's time to just get a coat to match the caps and walk out the door.
Yeah. You know? What more does he want? What is he thinking he's going to stay on for the Euros now or something?
I don't know. But I mean, again, you know, it seems to be more about him than the team, you know. But you need a manager that's strong enough for that. Now, Martinez, I think, has stepped aside, and I think whoever comes in just needs to just make the decision. I mean, you know, he'll end up doing, Jerry, is he'll be remembered for what's happening now at the end of his career rather than what he's done throughout his career. You know,
there comes a time. He thinks he's done as a player at the peak of his powers.
Yeah. There comes a time for everyone. You just got to step away, you know, not go too far. And I think this was a World Cup too far for him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, look, Tom, thanks for your views on that. Hopefully the World Cup goes on without further interference off the field and returns to the football on the field. But look, I'll ask you a final question that you mentioned anyone but England. Are you worried, Tom? Are you concerned?
No. My team is West Ham, you know. So I mean, we all have our teams, but I think it's an Irish thing, isn't it? You know, it's something we do. But Bellingham, I'm not a fan of his, but he's having a super tournament. Pickford is a really good goalkeeper, and Kane is a piece of work. You know, he's not strolling around there. He's popping up and clearing balls. He's creating things. I think we're really getting into a good phase for it. They could. I mean, Norway, perhaps they'd be happier meeting Norway than Brazil, but that was a poor Brazil team.
It was. Yeah.
Oh, that was poor. You know, I think, again, they have an aura about them when it comes to the World Cup, but they had an awful qualifying campaign in South America. They qualified fifth, and I think that should be a sign. But I still have a sneaking feeling for Morocco if they got past France. But I think France have looked the best, and I think they showed great character against Paraguay. You know, that was a horrible, horrible game to be playing in and to be intimidated in. And it was a throwback to the World Cup 66, you know, the kicking and the gouging and everything. And not one player booked from Paraguay. But England, look, they have a chance. They have a great chance probably against Norway. That gets you into the semi-final. I'm not sure off the top of my head what way it goes then. Are they playing the winners
could
of Spain?
Argentina, if Argentina wins, rounds could be. Yeah.
Yeah, Argentina, Egypt tonight, I think, isn't it? This evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 o'clock, just to catch people out. It's on at 5 o'clock, I think. It's a bit early.
A bit early is right, yeah. Okay, Tom, well, listen, thanks for taking the time. We'll see where it goes from here, but thanks for talking to me about it tomorrow.
No problem. Chat anytime, Jerry. Cheers.
Here you go, Thomas Shea, former grassroots director at the FAI, talking to me about the game last night, the controversy surrounding it. Did football win? Give us your view on that.